Good morning.
Good morning.
Great to see everybody here, whether you're here physically or here virtually, electronically today. May you experience God and experiencing Him. The title of the sermon today is to come and see, but maybe more properly, come and experience. You know, taste and see that the Lord is good, like we were just singing. And you don't always realize how something good is until you taste it. We had a young boy that was staying with us one time. We were taking a lot of kids and asked, "What do you want for supper?" We gave him some choices. And, you know, one thing we said was fish. "No, I don't like fish." "Okay, well, I fried up a batch of fresh sunnies." He tried one. He came back for seconds. Now every time he stays with us, "Can we have fish?" Okay. He just found out that he really liked it. He just had never really tried it, never really tasted it before. So let us invite others to come and see it, to come and experience, to come and taste that the Lord is good. Let's start our readings today.
Our first reading today is from Psalm 66, verses 1 through 7. "Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say to God, 'How awesome are your deeds! So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing the praises of your name. Come and see what the Lord has done, His awesome deeds for mankind. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in Him. He rules forever by His power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against Him." The second reading is from Revelations chapter 22, verse 17. "The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let the one who hears say, 'Come.' Let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life." Here ends the readings.
Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in the book of John, chapter 1, verses 43 through 51. "The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, 'Follow me.' Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, 'We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.' 'Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?' Nathanael asked. 'Come and see,' said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, 'Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit.' 'How do you know me?' Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, 'I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you.' Then Nathanael declared, 'Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel.' Jesus said, 'You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that,' he then added. 'Very truly I tell you, you'll see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man.'" Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Lord, we thank you for your word that serves to guide us, serves to lead us, serves to inspire us, and contains the answers to the many questions that we have. Lord, may your word speak to us this morning, to our very spirits, that we may come away changed, to be more like you. Amen. Well, the gospel here today. We have some people who aren't quite sure, but they're invited to come and see. And this isn't the first time it happens in the book of John. What precedes this as well, shortly after Jesus' baptism, he's walking along the shores there, and he's approached then. He finds two disciples of John, and one of them we know is Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. The other we don't know for sure, but we think it's maybe the John, the author of the gospel here. So these two disciples heard him say, they followed Jesus, turning around, Jesus saw them and following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi, our teacher, where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." Again, come and see. An invitation. So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. spending the day with Jesus. How cool is that? Okay. That would be really neat. I mean, we have the chance to spend the day with Jesus in the Spirit, you know, things like that, but to physically spend the day with him, just learning the teachings and what he's saying to us. That would be life-changing. A life-changing encounter with Jesus. And that's what they experienced. But once they had that life-changing encounter, they couldn't keep it to themselves. They had to share it with others. So the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon, who became Peter, and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." And he brought him to Jesus. So having an encounter with Jesus that was life-changing, they now bring others to Jesus. And that's how we got here today. That's how we got here 2,000 years later, right? Because people brought others to Jesus. That's the way it worked back then, and it still works today. You know, 2,000 years ago, they didn't have social media. They couldn't announce it that way. They couldn't publish invitations in the paper. They couldn't advertise in those ways. They couldn't put it on the radio or TV. It was a personal invitation. And that built this church to millions of followers worldwide, these personal invitations. And it still works that way today. We can put ads out there. I'd recently seen some statistics, and I'm trying to find the source of them. I have not yet, but it said, you know, people that come to a church, 2% maybe saw an advertisement. 6% was maybe part of an outreach event or something like that. Another 6% was because the pastor invited them. But 80-some percent because a friend invited them. You're about 14 times more effective than I am, to do the math. Okay. Yeah, the pastor invited me, but that's part of his job, right? But inviting someone, I mean, that word of mouth, it's the best advertising, like I said, you can have. You could put a little ad in the newspaper, like I've said before, you know, Eric's Lawnmowers or something like that, and some people might see it and come buy a lawnmower. But if I tell someone, I bought a lawnmower from Eric, and hey, he gave me the best deal and the best service, and he stands by what he said, that is a personal testimony with it, right? And I did buy a lawnmower from Eric, and it does run real well, okay? But yeah, that personal invitation, that personal testimony that's attached to it, that word-of-mouth advertising is the most effective that you can have. And that still holds true today. Still holds true today. So he brought him to Jesus. Yeah, they brought others to Jesus. And again, this is the first time right here, bringing someone to Jesus. And then it happens again later on in this text, and now it's been happening every day since then, up until today, bringing others to Jesus, inviting them to come and see. And that's what we find here. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Okay, they were fishermen. Moses wrote about it, or Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about, the one who the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." So he's telling someone else, a buddy of his, "Hey, we found him. This Messiah that's been predicted since the age of the prophets, that this whole Old Testament contains prophecies about this person who is coming. That he has come. We have found him. We have encountered him. He has changed my life just spending time with him, listening to the teachings." But then Nathanael's, "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" That's what he's saying. Now, Nazareth was a small backwater town. It was at a crossroads, a lot of trade there, and then a lot of people from other cultures and things would have their traditions and things brought there, which were frowned upon by the Jews because they want to remain pure, which is good. They want to remain dedicated to God, right? They didn't want interbreeding with other cultures and things like that. That's where the Samaritans came about. Also, there's supposedly was a Roman garrison there too, which they, of course, did not like the Romans. So there's a number of reasons why people would not want to associate with those from Nazareth. It wasn't quite as bad as Samaria, okay? But it was a place that was questionable. "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. Philip's response, "Come and see. Come and see." And maybe even better yet, come and experience. Because you can come and see, you know, Jesus, but to experience him, how much better? Or you invite someone to come to worship. Yeah, come and see. Come and check it out. Come and taste and see if the Lord is good, right? But then to get here and experience it. It's not just seeing it, which is a passive thing. We can see something. But to experience God's presence, to experience the life that is available, that's what changes things. That's the beauty of it. We found that when we came to Shalom years ago. We've been, both Jill and I, raised up in traditional, you know, Norwegian Lutheran small town congregations, and where you do all the right things, and you, we were teaching Sunday school and doing everything like that. Yeah, we knew all about God, and we're teaching others about Him. But when we came here, we came and experienced Pastor Becky's teachings, the worship, the music. It was life-changing. It changed us. It's one of the reasons I'm here today. Because we came and we saw. We came and we experienced, and we came away changed. And then we started inviting others. Absolutely. And that's what it's all about. To be experience God, to be changed, to be born again, to have that new life where you don't just know about God, but you know God. And it becomes, it has a life to it, is the best way I can put it. We've all worshipped in other places maybe where it just feels colder. It doesn't have that life to it. And you come here and you just go, yes, 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 okay. That life, the presence of God and the Holy Spirit, again, life-changing. And that's what people are inviting to others to come and see, to come and experience. And that is our mission today as well. The kingdom of God, the body of Christ, is only going to grow if we are inviting others. Historically, this is something that's been a little tough for Lutherans, okay? Maybe for Norwegian Lutherans especially. But it's a part of our mission. If we have been changed, we need to share that with others. We are called to share that with others, to invite them in, that the kingdom will grow, that people have access to eternal life. And in this life, that they'll have the peace, the joy, the hope, and the confidence that we all experience. We can go through life again with a very different worldview than many around us because we have encountered Jesus. And we have been changed. And we believe. So we don't fear death and things like that. No, we don't. Because we know the truth. We have encountered the truth, and that truth has set us free, as it says in the Bible. Now, Nathanael still wasn't sure. Jesus saw Nathanael approaching. He said of him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." So there's something special about Nathanael. For Jesus to say that, again, God doesn't look at the outside. He looks at the heart, and he saw something in him. He saw the potential in him, that this is a guy that can be used. This is a guy that's got something that can be used for the kingdom, and we all do. We all do. You may think, "Lord, I don't have any special gifts or talents." No, he's given us all an assignment. We're all a piece of the puzzle. Part of that piece is inviting others to come and see. But we can all contribute. We've all been given different gifts, and together we form that body of Christ. If we're missing a limb or something like that, we can still function, but we're handicapped. We cannot function to our full capacity. And each one of us is a part of that body. We are all necessary to fully function. It's a beautiful thing that God has designed. So the body of Christ, you have a special role in it, each and every one of you. Something that no one else can quite do like you can. We're all unique. We all have different gifts. And we get to use them for God's glory, which is a wonderful thing. Psalms also talked about coming to see. Now this is a psalm of praise at the beginning here. "Shout with joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name." And yeah, we can go around singing like that. Some of us don't have the gift to sing. Others do. That's great. But can we sing out to God in other ways? In the way that we live our life? You know, the calling other people to come and see doesn't always have to be a verbal thing. It can be just people seeing that you are so excited about this, that you are feeling this, that you are living this, that you are experiencing it. And then they're curious. And they want the same thing as well, which is great. Again, it's that kind of advertising just by the way we live, that people are going to be intrigued, that they're going to see that and go, "Wow, that person's a believer. There must be something to this." Well, yeah, come and see. Come and check it out. Invite them in. So in your daily life, sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Shout out how awesome are his deeds, how great is his power. All those things, again, in the way that we live. And then verse 5, come and see what God has done. Again, that come and see. Come and experience. This is good stuff. If someone's out there and they don't have hope, if they're depressed, lonely, whatever, invite them to come and see so that they can experience life, to have life abundant, this wonderful thing that we have. Come and see what God has done, how awesome his works in man's behalf. All the things he's done, he turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. He works miracles. We have a miracle-working God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But to come and see is a personal thing, not just to take someone else's word for it. Okay, yeah, but no, to come and see for yourself, to experience for yourself, to taste and see. And like the little boy tasting the fish and finding out how good it was. Sometimes you get this beautiful meal or something that's just, it's a symphony of taste, right? Where we got all these different things blended together in such a beautiful way. To experience that is to experience something that words can sort of describe it. You know, poets can try and stuff like that, but until you taste it, until you experience it, you don't get that full effect, how beautiful it is. You're missing out until you've experienced that. And that's the way it is with God. That people would come and see, that come and experience, and to realize what he can do, that he rules forever by his power, as it says here. His eyes watch the nations. He can watch over us. He can protect us as a nation, but also as individuals. If you're living under God's protection, it's a wonderful thing. And if you've ever lived without it, it's not a good thing. Because he watches over us in ways that we don't even realize. He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against him. Well, they can try to rise up against him, but it's not going to work, okay? God being all-powerful, and we are on his side. What a wonderful thing, right? He walks with us through the fire. He walks with us through life. He is there with us. He is there for us. Right up to the very end. And we come to the end of the scripture as well with Revelation 22. This is the last page right here. This is the third to last paragraph, okay? So this is some important stuff that John was revealed to him on the island of Patmos. He had this great vision or series of visions where he wrote this book that contains so much. Revelation is very interesting. A lot of symbolism in there, a lot of literal things. Sometimes it's hard to differentiate. But as he's wrapping it up here, the last book of the Bible, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Again, an invitation. Right? This is how the church has grown. This is how it's flourished. This is how it's been sustained for thousands of years. This invitation to others. The Spirit says, come. Yeah, the Spirit can awaken within us. And when that happens, it's a life-changing thing. Everybody's got access to this, but it has to be turned on. The key has to be turned there. And someone is willing to accept it, and the Spirit comes alive in them. It's wonderful. And the Bride says, come. Well, who's the Bride? That's us, the Bride of Christ. So along with the Holy Spirit, we are to invite others to come and see it, to come and experience, to taste and see if the Lord is good. And let him who hears say, come. Well, who has heard? We have heard. Just like Andrew and Philip had heard, and they invited others to come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. There's a lot of thirsty people out there, and they don't have any idea how dehydrated they are. They're just living their normal life, not aware of how thirsty they are, not aware of the refreshment that's available in Jesus that they can experience. And we can offer them that cup of cold water physically. Yeah, that's going to quench their physical thirst, but the spiritual thirst that exists within people, where they're trying to quench it with other things that are not of God, and maybe give them some temporary relief, but it's not permanent. It's not like the water of life. Whoever is thirsty, let him come, and whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. A free gift, right? This is not something we pay for. You can't buy salvation. You can't buy God's presence. You can't buy his peace. It's a free gift that's given to us. All we have to do with a gift is receive it. But then this is something that we just can't keep to ourselves. We have to tell others about it. And the water of life. Again, a lot of people out there are not realizing how much they need this. But this water of life is not just a bottle of water. It's ever flowing. It's like an artesian formation, right? Where it just keeps on flowing out of the ground. There's no end to it. God's blessings, his goodness, his water of life, an ever flowing well, an endless supply. It's there. And a lot of people don't realize it. So that's part of our job, once again, part of our calling is to do that. Romans 10 says this beautifully as well. It's going to move on towards the end with this, Romans 10. All righty. Verses 14 and 15. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? If people don't know about God, how can they call on him? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? A lot of people out there, again, don't realize what's available. And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Okay, and that's not just the preacher. It's not just the pastor. We are all have that mission to carry it to others. We are all part of that. And how can they preach unless they are sent? We are sent by God. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So the Great Commission instructs each one of us, right, to go therefore and to tell everybody to come, to taste and to see. And how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. If you want more beautiful feet, hey, tell more people, all right? We're not doing it for that reason, obviously. Okay, but no, that's from Isaiah 2. The bearer of good news. That's a whole lot better than being the bearer of bad news, isn't it? It's tough to bear bad news to others. But to bear the good news, that's an honor. That's a privilege. That's something as believers we all get to share. We're all here because we've been changed. We all have a testimony, and we get to invite others to come and see. So as we move into this next year, I was just sort of pondering, Lord, what's our mission for this next year? Last year we had said we're going to outreach the community more. Yeah, we established a wonderful relationship with Holly Ridge with our bingo games up there and our musical games and things like that. We were part of the night out on the town. We were a part of other things in the town, just wonderful opportunities to get involved in the community. For this next year, I'd like it to be come and see, to invite others to come and experience, that the kingdom of God will grow. As a byproduct, Shalom will grow as well. But hey, we got room we can add on. That's not a problem. That's this wonderful thing we've got going here. How can you not share it with others? And again, the pastor can have a little bit of effect, but it's the people out there that have experienced God, those of you online as well, that you have experienced it. It's changed your life. You have come and seen. Now, like Philip and Andrew, you're going to invite others to come and see as well. So let's be intentional in that in this coming year. Let's invite others to come and see, but better yet, to come and experience how good God is. Amen.